CQ, 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 the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Your net control tonight is W4DJW. My name is Dave, and my location is Greer. In the interest and promotion of amateur radio, this net is called nightly at 9 p.m. In the event of an emergency, this net will be activated. This repeater is located atop Caesars Head Mountain, about 2 miles south of the North Carolina-South Carolina border near Highway 276. The repeater is at an elevation of 3,500 feet and is owned and operated by the Blue Ridge Amateur Radio Society. All amateurs are licensed to operate on the frequency are invited to check in. Is there any formal traffic bulletins or announcements for the net? Please call W4DJW. Okay, nothing heard. We'll now begin the roll call. This is a directed net. All stations with or without traffic are invited to check in. As you check in, give your name, call, location, and signal your intent to remain on the net for the RAG 2 portion. And tonight being Saturday night, we'll begin with Alpha through Delta, but before we do that, we'll recognize the pre-net check-ins, Echolink stations, and new amateur radio operators. So starting with the pre-net check-ins, we have W4FCM, that's Fred, and Travelers Rest, bring with him N4IEI, that's Miss Isla, K4XMR, that's Mill and Prosperity, W2AMD, that's Andrew in Simpsonville, KG4PFI Don and KG4QLQ, Miss Linda, they're in Piedmont, KO4ZEW, that's Ben in Simpsonville, KI4LZI, that's Andy in Table Rock, N4JRB, that's James in Greer, AA4GH, that's Gus in Punta Gorda, Florida, N4ASW, that's Tony, bring with him KQ4JSK, that's Miss Kim there in Asheville, KN4RJN, that's John in Brown Summit, KX4YM, that's Scott in Greenville, KD4HEY, that's Jim in Piedmont, and KG4WNP, that's Landon in Dacusville this evening. Appreciate you guys for using the pre-net check-in capability. That's what it's there for. We do have an Echolink station. Echolink station is only for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Call W4DJW.
W4DJW, net control. This is Kilo Quebec 4, Oscar Juliet Whiskey, KQ4OJW, Daniel in Seneca, and I'll be negative in short time tonight.
Okay, net control, I'd like to recognize KQ4OJW, that is Daniel in Seneca. Good to have you with us tonight, Daniel. Feel free to secure at your leisure. We do appreciate you taking time to stop in this evening. Do we have any brand new amateur radio operators who have never checked into a net before who would like to check in but just aren't quite sure what the protocol is? Just throw your call sign out there and I will do the rest. Okay, no new amateur radio operators heard this evening. We'll start the RF section of the Blue Ridge 2-meter net this evening with Alpha through Delta. Stations with the first letter in their suffix that begins with A through a D would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Call W4DJW. Okay, net control, I'd like to recognize K4AFT, that is Michael. You're sounding good from Central this evening, Michael. Appreciate you taking the time to check in with us this evening. Do we have any other stations in the Alpha through Delta group that would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call W4DJW.
4DJW, K82AXQ, Kilo Echo, Alpha, X-ray, Quebec. Ken and Pickens, I'll be negative, sir. Thank you.
Okay, net control, I'd like to recognize KA2AXQ. That's Ken, sounding good from Pickens this evening. Appreciate you being with us tonight, Ken. Take care and hope you're having a good weekend. One last call, Alpha through Delta. If you'd like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW. Okay, we'll move it on up to the Echo through Hotel group. Stations with the first letter in their suffix that begins with an E through an H. And will I check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW.
4DJW. Been all on the net. Please check in Kilo Oscar 4 Hotel Kilo X-ray, KO4HKX. That's Patrick. I'm up here in Penrose. I have no comment, no traffic tonight, Dave. Thanks for calling the net, sir.
4DJW. Please check in Kilo Charlie 4 Echo Zulu November, KC4EZ and Harry in Candler, North Carolina. And I will be negative and negative tonight, Dave. Stay warm.
4DJW. W4 Foxtrot Hotel Juliet, Gene and Taylor's negative and negative, over.
4DJW. I'm please check in Kilo Mike 4 Golf Zulu Golf, that's David in Easley, KM4GZG, David in Easley, and I'll be negative and negative.
All right, that's a good start to the RF section of the Blue Ridge 2-meter net this evening. Net Control, I'd like to recognize our Sunday night net control operator, KO4HKX. That's Patrick in Penrose, North Carolina. Be sure and stop in with Patrick tomorrow night, same time, same frequency. I'm sure he'd appreciate you being there, and I'm sure you would enjoy his net as well. KC4EZN, there's Harry over in Candler, North Carolina. Yeah, Harry, the temperature is dropping. I looked at the temperature before I started the net. It's 36 degrees here, and it's going down lower. Appreciate you being with us. Stay warm in Candler, North Carolina, Harry. And W4FHJ, that's Gene over in Taylor, South Carolina. You sounded good, Gene. Appreciate you being with us this evening. And KM4GZG, that's David in Clemson. Good to have you with us tonight, David. Appreciate you taking time to be here. You sounded good into the repeater as well. Do we have any other stations in the Alpha through Delta group that would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call W4DJW.
4DJW, KM4 Golf through Golf with a quick correction. It's David in Easley, South Carolina.
Okay, I had you in Clemson before, but I'll switch that to Easley now. Okay, I appreciate the correction, David. And sorry about that. I have both, Easley and Clemson, so I'll switch it to Easley. Good to have you with us this evening. Any other stations, Alpha through Delta?
Oh, please check in KQ4GIV, Kilo Quebec 4, Golf India Victor, Dell and Gowan Field. I'll be negative and negative.
Okay, Net Control, I'd like to recognize KQ4GIV, that is Dale in Gowansville, South Carolina, this evening. Good to have you with us tonight, Dale. Appreciate you taking the time to check in with us this evening. Do we have any other stations in the Alpha through Delta group that would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call W4DJW. All right, we're moving on up to the Echo Through. I think I was in Echo Through Hotel. Move it up to the Echo Through Hotel group. Station with the first letter in their suffix that begins with an E through an H. I think I was on that group and I just didn't move my pointer. But we'll try that group one more time. Call W4DJW. All right, we'll move it on up to the India through Lima group. Stations with the first letter in their suffix that begins with an I through an L. Would I check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call W4DJW.
DJW. Kilo 4, Juliet, Foxtrot, Oscar. And I am James upon this mountain in Tuxedo, North Carolina. And this is where I'll be negative and negative. Send 73s for each one of you.
DJW.
Watt Charlie 9, Bravo Echo X-ray. This is Ian in Greenville, and I'll be negative and negative, and thank you for calling the net tonight.
DJW. Please check in Kilo Oscar 4, Juliet Kilo Victor, KO4JKV. This is Duncan in Asheville. No traffic, no comment. Thanks for holding the net.
Okay, Net Control, I'd like to recognize KK4JFO. That's James, sounding good as usual from Tuxedo, North Carolina. Good to have you tonight, James. KC4BEX, that is Ian, and he is in Greenville. Good to have you tonight, Ian. Appreciate you taking the time to check in. And our Monday night Net Control operator, KL4JKV, that is Duncan in Asheville, North Carolina. You sounded good, Duncan. Appreciate you being here with us this evening. Do we have any other stations in the India through Lima group that would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call W4DJ.
For DJW. Please check in Kilo 4, Juliet, Bravo, Quebec. This is Larry. Also, my wife Donna. Kilo Charlie 4, Mike Foxtrot Kilo. We make our home in Greer. Donna will be in and out, but I'll be around for a comment. And I hope everyone has a good night. Stay warm. Another blanket tonight. 7-3.
Okay, Net Control, I'd like to recognize KK4JBQ. That's Larry. He's bringing with him KC4MFK. That's Miss Donna. They make their home in Greer. Good to have you with tonight, Larry. Tell Donna we said hello, and I have you down for comments, so we will be back to you in just a little bit. We do have an Echolink station. Echolink stations only for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Call W4DJW.
W4DJW, good evening, Dave. Check in Kilo Alpha 4, Papa Quebec Alpha. That is KA4PQA, Stephen in Greenwood. Good evening to yourself, all in that. No traffic and no rag queue.
Okay, Net Control, I'd like to recognize KA4PQA. That's Stephen sounding good over Echo Link from Greenwood this evening. Good to have you with us tonight, Stephen. We do appreciate you being here. Let's see, one more call. India through Lima, if you'd like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW. Okay, nothing heard there. We'll go ahead and bump it up to the Mike through Papa group. Stations with the first letter in their suffix that begins with an M through a P. When I check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW. Okay, now control, I'd like to recognize K4OIM. That is Walt, sounding good from Inman this evening. Good to have you as night, Walt. Hope your weekend is going well, and we do appreciate you being here with us this evening. Any other stations, Mike through Papa, that would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW.
W4DJW, good evening, Dave. This is Kilo Quebec 4, November Hotel Bravo, KQ4, NHB. This is Danny Ringel, will be negative, but we'll be monitoring.
DJW, this is Kilo Quebec 4, November Lima Uniform. This is Ken in Greenville, and I'll be negative and negative.
For DJW, please check in Kilo Oscar 4, Papa X-ray Bravo, Floyd in Clintonville. I'll be negative and negative.
To control. It's Kilo Juliet 4, Bravo Kilo India. KJ4BKI, Jack Rocky on Sapphire. Go have a great one.
4DJW, please check in Kilo Quebec 4, Oscar Alpha Sierra. This is Robert Piedmont, and I'll be negative and negative.
All right, that's a good group. Net control, I'd like to recognize KQ4NHB. That is Danny, sounding good from Greenville this evening. Good to have you with us tonight, Danny. KQ4NLU, that's Ken over in Greenville. Appreciate you being with us tonight, Ken. You're sounding good as well. KO4PXB, that's Lloyd from Simpsonville. Making it in just fine from Simpsonville this evening, Lloyd. We appreciate you being there. KJ4BKI, that's Jack, all the way from Rock Hill, South Carolina. You got a little bit of white noise around the edges, Jack, but you're 100% readable. So we do appreciate you making the trip from Rock Hill this evening. And KQ4OAS, that's Robert. He is in Piedmont. Good to have you. It's not Robert. You're sounding good as well. Do appreciate you taking the time to check in this evening. Do we have any other stations in the Mike through Papa group that would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call W4DJW. Okay, we'll move the pointer up to the Quebec through Tango group. Stations with the first letter in their suffix that begins with a Q through a T. When I check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW.
4DJW. Please check in N0TR, November 0, Tango Romeo. My name is Tom. I'm located in Greer. Good evening to you, Dave. No on the net. I'll be negative, negative.
DJW. Please check in Kilo Oscar 4. Quebec, Lima, Golf, KO4QLG, this is Chris and Liberty, and I'll meet Nana and Nana. Hello, Tom.
Hello, Chris.
Okay, Net Control, I'd like to recognize N0TR, that's my neighbor Tom over here, just a hop, skip, and a jump away from where I am. Tell Miss Bernice we said hello, Tom. Appreciate you taking the time to check in. Hope you guys are going to bundle up. Stay warm tonight. It's going to get cold. And hope those chickens got a light bulb burning for them. KO4QLG, that is Chris over in Liberty. You're sounding good as well, Chris. Appreciate you taking the time to check in this evening. Do we have any other stations in the Quebec through Tango group that would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call W4DJW. Okay, that brings us to the patient group for Saturday night, the Uniform through Zulu group. Stations with the first letter in their suffix that begins with a U through a Z and would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Call W4DJW.
DJW. Please check in KA3 WPP. That's Kilo Alpha 3 Whiskey Papa Papa Howard in Piedmont. Be negative and negative.
DJW. Please check in Kilo 4 X-ray Bravo. That's K4XB. My name's Tommy. I'm down here in southern Greenville County. I'll be negative and negative. Good evening to you and everyone on net.
Okay, Net Control, I'd like to recognize KA3WPP. That is Howard. He is in Piedmont, South Carolina. You're sounding good, Howard. Appreciate you taking the time to check in with us this evening. And K4XB, that is Tommy down in southern Greenville County. Good to have you as night holding down the southern end of Greenville County. Appreciate you being there, Tommy. Appreciate your consistency with the net, too. Any other stations? Let's go ahead now and open it up. Oh, we have an Echolink station. Echolink station is only for the Blue Ridge TV Internet. Call W4DJW.
W4DJW. Good evening, Dave. Dave, please check in. Kilo India 4, Kilo Charlie X-ray, KI-4, KTX. This is Jerry. Location is Gray Court. Just check me in and out tonight, Dave. Good day, good. Good to hear you. Glad you're doing good. Just check us in and out tonight, Dave.
Okay, Nick Control, I'd like to recognize KI-4KCX. That is Jerry. He's in Gray Court, South Carolina. Good to have you tonight, Jerry. You sounded good. Appreciate you taking the time to check in this evening. Do we have any other stations all the way through the alphabet? A through Z, Z through A. If you've got a letter in your call at all and you'd like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW.
Have you? Hope you and Miss Amy are doing well. Please check in Whiskey 4, India Oscar Echo. See it in Fletcher, North Carolina. Dave, thank you so much for calling the net. You and Miss Amy stay warm down that way, and please tell her that Barry and I said hello. And good evening to you and her, and good evening to all on the net. No traffic, no problem.
Hey, Miss Amy in the net, please check in. KI-4DOS, Gary. Also, K3JOY, that's my pretty little bride, Joy. We're at home and easily. No traffic, no shoot tonight. Good evening to you and Miss Amy, all on the net.
Okay, net control, I'd like to recognize W4IOE. That is Sid. He is over in Fletcher, North Carolina, and he calls the 14664 net on Sundays, right before Patrick's net on Sundays, Sunday at 8. Be sure and check in with Sid at 14664. They have a PL tone. It's 91.5. Sid, do tell Miss Beverly we said hello, and we do appreciate you taking time to check in with us this evening. Hope you guys stay warm tonight. It's going to get cold. KI-4DOS, that's our Wednesday night net control operator and all things swap net. Good to have you with us tonight, Gary. Gary's bringing with him K3JOY. That's Miss Joy there in Easley. Joy, tell Joy we said hello, and do appreciate you guys being here. And bundle up. It's going to get cold. Good to have you with us tonight. Do we have any other stations all the way through the alphabet that would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call W4DJW.
Hotel Yankee, Jim in Berea, negative.
Okay, and I control, I'd like to recognize KO4YHY. That's Jim. Sounding good from Berea this evening. They got that microphone in the right spot, Jim. That sounds wonderful. Full scale, full quieting. This is W4DJW now securing the formal portion of the net with our thanks for checking in. All stations wishing to secure may do so. We'll now begin the RAG2 portion of the net with periodic stops for check-ins between RAG2s. And the first one up on the stump this evening is KK4JBQ, that's Larry. He's in Greer. Larry called W4DJW in the Blue Ridge 2-meter net.
DJW and everyone on the net. Oh, it's good to be here. Let me turn this light out. I was trying to figure out I'm not very good with numbers in my head. A calculator spoiled me years ago. I'm sure I'm not the only one. I used to try to do numbers in my head, but found that it's just not up to that task. Well, anyhow, 'twas a good day here today. I finally did a little research on the equipment that I hope to use in digitizing. I think that's the correct way to phrase it. Digitizing my old cassette tapes. Now, I had the calculator out a moment ago to prepare for this little bit of information to figure out how long it's been since I recorded those things. Now, I recorded them back between 1993 and 1995. So that'd be, roughly 30 years ago. Now, the encouraging thing is I have not played them frequently. Maybe not some of them, not at all, since I recorded them. Didn't think there was any rush to do that. By the way, if you've got anything you really want to get done, don't wait 30 years to do it. things, a lot of things change. Now, one of the things that might change, don't know yet, is whether the recorder playback still works. You know, that's a long time for a machine to just sit there. But, of course, a lot of things have changed since those times. Cassettes are, I don't know if you can buy them today. Certainly a recorder as nice as the one that I made these things on, which was auto-reversing. That's kind of important. Even for playback. Well, we'll see, won't we? KK4JPQ.
Well, Larry, as far as the calculator goes and the doing numbers in your head, when I start doing that, I'll be at the computer and I'll be like working on a program and I'll think, okay, that I got to do that math. And the first thing I'll do is pull up the calculator on the computer because it's got a button on the keyboard specifically for that, and it brings it right up. And then I start doing that and I have another one to do, and I say, now wait a minute, I'm not gonna go punching these numbers in over and over again. I'll pull up a spreadsheet. So I'm even worse. I won't do it in my head, and I won't do it in the calculator. I have to have a spreadsheet. So I put them in the spreadsheet, and then I save that spreadsheet with the name Scratch in the folder for where I'm working on, and that's my scratch pad. Right? So if I have any math to do, I go over to the spreadsheet and I do it. And I used to not be that way at all. I used to be very confident doing numbers in my head, but not after 66 years of doing it, I'm no longer confident doing that. And about doing the dates and subtracting dates and doing one of the things my wife and I do every now and then, I'll ask her, now, how old are you? Or she'll ask me, how old am I? or vice versa. And so what we started doing is we ask Alexa, we say, Alexa, if I was born on this date, how old would I be today? And Alexa will tell you exactly how old you are. So you don't have to do the math anymore. So that gets even worse. About the cassettes, I was looking through a drawer in the airplane room, and I saw this box, and I said, I wonder what's in that box. I opened it up, and there's the cassette player and all the little mini cassettes about 2 inches by an inch, the cassette itself, and it has auto-reversing on it. And when I was going to college, they let you record every class, and the class I had the most trouble in was history. So I recorded every history class, and I kept all the tapes of the history so I could go back and listen to them over again. And when I would leave the class on my way to work, I would play the last class of the day, which was my history class. I would play it over. So I would listen to him in history class. I would listen to him on the way to work. While I was in work, when I was taking my breaks in between doing my setups, because I had a job that I was doing swing arm EDM, and you take 30 minutes to set it up, and it takes 30 minutes to burn. And in that 30 minutes, I would listen to my history class again. And then on the way home from work, that was a 30-mile trip. I'd listen to the history class. And back in those days, I was flying airplanes, so I was having to build airplanes because when you compete, I was competing in flying airplanes. And you crash a lot when you're doing that, so you have to build all the time. So the next day before I got started at school and I'm working on airplanes, I listened to the history class. I listened to that history class, each class about 5 times. And I saw that cassette player and all those cassettes in there, Larry, and I thought, you know, I need to get out and listen to it. It's been well over 30 years. I need to get those things out and listen to them. But I tell you what, I learned a lot about history. W4DJW in the Blue Ridge 2-meter net.
Now, that's fascinating. It, I don't know. Maybe I'm easily impressed. I don't know. But that is fascinating. The reason I say that, especially about the college history class, it was only in college that I really learned the value, the real value of knowing history. And it, simply put, it is that you should not repeat it. If it was bad for you, don't repeat it. Gee whiz. That sounds simple, but Lordy, oh, how difficult it is not to repeat some of your worst mistakes. Now, that's personal history. I understand that, and I'm not going to go into any further detail in case anybody out there would even care. But it's true, generally speaking, I think. And the only reason, sometimes, I think the only reason that periods of one's past is important is that they should not be repeated. I'm convinced of that. But in college, I had a history class that saved my life. It saved my interest in history. It defined a lot of, you know, put up mileposts. You know how it is when you're traveling on the interstate. It's going to be a long trip. You count the miles, and there are markers that are, you know, placed every mile or so, and that's helpful. Some people play car games between passenger and driver. If you're alone, I don't know what to do for you. But if you got somebody with you, you can play games. And you can do it with that mile marker thing. Kind of keeps everybody on their toes, thinking, alert. Good thing to be, especially if you're driving. But I had a history class that, the professor was involved. He had a way of it wasn't just squeezing it out of the tube, you know, like you do toothpaste. It wasn't that. It was relating one thing to another. And that makes it all bigger, but easier to remember because you can put it in some context. And that was just invaluable to me. I enjoyed that class. And to drive it even further home, I want to tell you how in high school my history class went. It was American history. And the teacher would come into the class, go into his cabinet where he kept, you know, all of his teaching supplies, and pulled out the woolen sack, set it on the desk, got his tape out of the box, threaded up the woolen sack, turned on the tape, and left the room. He did that every day of that school year. He did that every day. And, there's no better way to kill an interest that people have in their own history, their own nation's history, or world history, or anybody's history, for crying out loud, is to just sit to some lecture that was recorded years ago. Well, okay, maybe it's still valid, but boy, that was boring. And in the classroom, he walked out. So the classroom gets rowdy after that. And can you study with, you know, everything going on? No. No, 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 no. KK4JBQ.
W4DJW in the Blue Ridge 2-Meter Net. Well, Larry, my professor was a little bit different than that. He, at the beginning of the class, he got up there. He had his books and he had his notes. And he had the place that he leaned up against the desk every day. He stood there in front of the desk. He didn't walk. He didn't pace back and forth. He didn't, like, move around in the classroom. When he started, you know, which was at the top of the hour, so you better be there a few minutes early and get your paper, get your pad out, get your book out, and be ready to take your notes, right, your written notes, right when the clock was at the top of the hour, because that's when he would start. And he would start teaching, and nobody in the room would say a thing. Nobody said a word. It was quiet, stone quiet, and his voice was the only thing that you heard for the whole 50-minute session, because it was a 50-minute session, and that gave you 10 minutes to get to your next class, because sometimes your next class was a clear across the campus, and that wasn't really enough time to get there. But anyway, he had a monotone voice, so never got excited about anything, never got, you know, really drag and dull and boring. I mean, he just kept the same, you know, speed that he was talking and the same tone that he was talking for the whole 50 minutes. And it was just, like to him, it had to be the most boring thing he ever did in his life. But for me, I kind of got into it a little bit because you had the book in front of you and you changed pages and it had the colorful pictures of, you know, it was American history too. That was the one I struggled with the most. And pictures of the battles and the wars that we went through and the things that, that when when land was discovered and who discovered it and, you know, what Ponce de Leon was doing versus somebody else. It was very, very interesting because I kind of got into it. And that's what made it so I wanted to listen to it and I wanted to know it. And it's like that with me for anything. It's not like I can hear something one time and I've got it. I've got to hammer it in my head over and over and over again before I can get it. But then once I get it, I got it, right? Then I usually don't forget it. But that history, man, I struggled with it. But I liked it. I enjoyed it because, you know, if my sister told me one time, people, the things that people do that they like are the things that they're good at. And the things that people don't do, they don't like and they're not good at. So if you do something that you don't like, the more you do it, you'll get good at it and you'll start liking it. And she was absolutely right. I followed that my whole life.
Gracious. Well, yeah, college opened my eyes to a lot of things. The sciences, I guess, never really, I mean, before higher education, the sciences weren't all that interesting to me. But I recall freshman year, and this wasn't at the university, it was at an annex in my hometown. Hardly any travel at all. I lived quite close to where the classes would be taught, and so I thought I'd start there. You know, I'm the first in my family to go to college, and I had no one to tell me what it was going to be like, so I had a little trepidation, you know. You're always more concerned about something you've never done than things that you're acquainted with. So I signed up and I went to school and I didn't know what to do. I had no idea about a major. I just wanted to be educated and a chance to have, a little more between my ears maybe. So I signed up for a class because it was just something available and nothing else appealed at all. And I thought this class in childhood psychology, now those two words didn't seem to really go together. I mean, you know, really, before the class. Now the professor handled classroom a little differently than anything I'd ever seen in my life. So first day he says, I'm going to do something here. You're going to see a lot of it. Now, we were in a classroom that could have been used for other sciences, such as maybe biology. It was larger tables, not just sitting at a desk, but a larger table. And we were kind of in an oval within the classroom. All the desks were pushed up together. And we rearranged that after a while because of what he did the first day. So he stepped up on an empty chair, climbed onto the table, and he did the rest of his first day of class walking on the tables just around the room. And we were still sitting down, all of us, you know, and all of us with our mouth gaping open. But he had our attention. Absolutely, he had our attention. And I learned more about child psychology. He wrote a book. Professors do that. They push their book and talk about their book quite a lot if they've done such a thing. About teaching babies to swim. It's within every child. And this was appealing to me because I never learned how to swim. Ever. Never got near a body of water. And today, I don't go near water because I can't swim. A flotation device. I have been on a friend's boat. It was a larger boat, motor powered, and I was just probably pale with fright you know, all the blood rushing from my head type of fright. And he gave me, one, a flotation device to put around me and strap onto me, and another one to hold. He says, you are so pale. You must be beyond scared. And I said, yes, sir. Yes, sir, I am. So it was interesting to me that within all of us is a natural ability, really. He had underwater films that he showed, stills of which he put in his book, but underwater films of his doing the research for the book, teaching babies how to swim. Seemed to come natural to him. Anyhow, golly, Bill, I don't know. I get off on tangents. So I was talking about the cassette tapes. I recorded these tapes while attending school, and this is why I know the date. The program was coming over the college radio. It was on folk music, and I kind of like that genre. And I remember recording it then. So that kind of circles back around to the beginning of all this and ties it in a nice little knot. KK4JBQ.
Larry, with your experience with psychology, I had a similar experience with sociology. You know, that wasn't my main. Sociology and history, those were electives, not electives. You had to take some electives, right? So either those were electives or they were required. I don't know. But they were things that I did not want to take because I was interested in strength of materials. I started off in mechanical engineering. So the geometry, trigonometry, and calculus were my mainstay, right? Because you got to have that for mechanical engineering. And then strength of materials, where you do destructive testing in labs and stuff like that. That's the stuff I had fun with. Until they forced me to take a computer class, and I told my dad, why are they making me do that? I'm never going to need a computer in my whole life. And he looked at me and he said, just do it. Just humor them. Just take the computer class. You might like it. And it changed my whole direction. Right. As soon as that class was over, I went straight to the counselor and I said, I got to change my major from mechanical engineering to computer science. And he said, you're not the first one that's done that. But anyway, getting back to the sociology, well, like you had psychology. When I started learning in sociology 101, they were talking about things that you got to look at the history. The history was at that point in time that I decided to go back to school, I was a dirt poor country boy. I had a farm. I had chickens, pigeons, raccoons, goats, rabbits, German shepherds, and I took care of the farm. And I had a garage out in the back where I work on people's cars, and it was my uncle who would bring me. He was in finance, and he would bring me cars to fix up, and then he'd sell them, and we'd split the profit. But that's when I started working at Michelin. They said they would pay my tuition if I made a B or better if I went to school. So this is a country boy that knows nothing about nothing, right? Graduated high school, but that's about all I knew. And I knew how to work on cars because my dad, when I was growing up, my dad always said, you're going to know how to work on your own car. That's a rule. You got to do that. You got to do your own brakes. You got to do your own transmission. You got to do your own carburetor, right? And we ended up doing engine rebuilds and all that stuff too. So I knew how to work on cars. But when I got in school and I got into sociology, and I thought, okay, I know that. What he's teaching me, I already know. I just didn't know the word that you put with it, with what it meant. And like the ego and the id, right? I knew everybody had it as an ego, and I didn't know about the id. But I knew it was there, but I didn't know you called it the id and what it did and how it was contrasted to the ego. I found that fascinating, right? To learn, and it was like, you know, it was like when it tells you something, it's not like you're going to doubt whether, because that's one of the things that I tended to do all the time is you tell me something, I'm not going to believe you just because you're telling me. You got to prove it to me, right? When we did proofs and theorems and all of that stuff in lower level math before we got up into calculus, that's what, you know, set my direction for having to have proof. You don't just tell me something and I believe it. I'm not going to believe it. If you tell me something and you don't tell me why, I'm not going to believe it. Anyway, I found that sociology for that reason was extremely enlightening for me. And there again, it was one of the things I wasn't interested in, but forced to take, and glad I did.
JBQ. Right after this one, Dave, I want to let you check for more check-ins. If anybody's waiting, just be a little while now. So people like you and people like me, we are most fortunate. Some people are able to be fascinated by anything, absolutely anything. Well, I'm not fascinated by anything, but when it does happen, something within you becomes eager. It's like it becomes hungry, and it's got to have more. I was that way with geology. I didn't know it was another thing. This is another thing that college is good for. It's exposing you to things you didn't know you'd have any interest in. You know, you might go and enter school with a major in mind, but it's almost surely going to change. I got fascinated with geology, rocks. I mean, I've been around rocks and grew up in the mountains where road cuts will, if you know what I mean by road cut, they're going to make, I think ever since the Eisenhower days when we built the interstate highway system as a nation, well, they would cut a more level road. And I know everybody's been on roads where you go down, you go up. You go down, you go up, following the lay of the land. But today that's not how they build highways. They cut a swath, more or less level. You can go left and you can go right, but not up and down and up and down. But these road cuts expose what's under the ground. And especially in the mountains here on the East Coast, where once upon a time in years and years past, there was a continental collision. Some part of either Africa or Western Europe broke off, drifted across the sea, slammed into this continent. It absolutely slammed into this continent. And that kind of intense, unrelenting pressure, you know, at the atomic level, it causes rocks to melt and become sort of in a plastic sense. Hot plastic will bend and mold. Well, that happened here. And you can see those folds in the rocks, especially with a road cut, where they go up, like the hump on a camel. That's called an incline. And when they go down, it's an anticline. It's just those little special words, maybe, you know, just a little more fascination. I love geology. I took everything I could get at my university in geology, and I did so well. I never made straight A's in anything I ever took before, but this I was hungry for. And I was asked, would I like to, after graduation, would I like to work at the university and get that schooling for free and work in the department? I knew that had potential, but I wasn't on that track. Anyhow, time to make a check, see, and I'll be here if you want to come back. KK4JBQ.
Okay, Larry, I'll be back to you in just a second. Do we have any other stations all the way through the alphabet that would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2 meter net called W4DJW?
AC4SKD, Larry. KG4AHS, Rotha. Both in Easley, no traffic. I'll be here for range you. And, of course, I'm bringing my brothers along. November 9, Tango, Echo, Charlie.
That's Randall by telephone relay. And he's in Asheville. And my youngest brother, Charlie, Kilo Foxtrot 4 Golf Golf Foxtrot. He's in Goose Creek. And yeah, call me for rag tube, Dave, when it's my turn. KC4SKD.
Romeo Oscar Whiskey. Dave, I don't know if you can hear me or not, but if you can, K4ROW Richard Greenwood, no traffic, no round table. Check me in, please, sir.
Okay, Net Control, I'd like to recognize our every other Friday night Net Control operator. That is KC4SKD. That's Larry. He is over in Easley. Bring with him KG4AHS. That's Miss Rhonda. And his brother N9TEC in Asheville, North Carolina, and KF4GGF. That is Charlie, and he is in Goose Creek, South Carolina. Good to have you with us tonight, Larry. Tell Miss Rhonda we said hello, and we will be back to you in just a little bit. K4ROW, that is Richard in Greenville. Yes, Richard, we can hear you perfectly fine, 100% copyable. No problem whatsoever. You sound good into the repeater this evening. Do you have any other stations all the way through the alphabet that would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call W4DJW. Sounds like that's all that we have for now. Getting back to the college experience, one thing I was thinking about, Larry, was I think you probably did the same thing I did. When I graduated high school, I went right into working, and I was 6 months after I graduated high school, I got a job at Michelin, and I was pulling what's called shoot out of plastic boxes and putting it on scales and weighing it, and then either throwing it in the trash bin or the recycle bin, one of the two. And I did that and worked in the lab, collecting lab samples and doing lab tests for the first 6 years while I was there. And about the sixth year, I was riding a bicycle through the plant, and I was picking up samples. And I'd have to go shut off a chain of, they had chains. Chains were made up of two major components, a MAC and a MAF. And the MAC, assembled the round part of the tire, and the MAF put the tread and all that stuff on it. And I'd have to go shut off a MAC. And you'd have 30 people that were running that Mac, and they got PFP, pay for performance. And I'd shut it off, and they'd start hollering. and they'd say, get your sample and get on with it, because I was taking money out of their pockets, taking samples. So I was the bad guy in the plant. And I'd get my sample. It was either a temperature sample or an actual sample of a rubber or one of the profiles that went on the tire. And I'd move on, and I'd go to the next MAC or the next MAF and do the same thing, take it all in the lab and do all my tests for that night or for that period of that night, and did that on rotating shifts. And I did that for 6 years before I said, you know what, I'm not going to be able to do this for the rest of my life. I got to go back to school. And they had a school plan where if you made a B or better, they would pay you back. You had to come up with the money for the books and the tuition yourself. And then at the end, you gave them your report card. And if you made a B or a better, they'd pay you back for all of that. So I went through the whole kit and caboodle, started off with mechanical engineering and switched over to computer science and went all the way through that and made one B the whole time I was there. And that's because in a mechanical drawing class, they used a copy of 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 a copy for the test. And there was a B on there, and I thought there was a... It was a B, but I thought it was an 8 because the corners had been rounded off long, long, long ago. So I put an 8 as a dimension or a label or something like that where it was supposed to be a B. And that was on the final test. So I got a B in that class. And I protested it, but it didn't do me any good. Anyway, getting back to what I was talking about, it after 6 years of working in the plant, I was a lot more mature 6 years after I graduated high school than I was when I graduated high school. And I could see a reason that I wanted to go back to school, which made for a totally different investment in doing good in school, which is why I said every class I take, when I have to turn in this report card, and then I have to get my money back so I can use that money to take my next set of classes and my next set of books. And I said, every single one of them's going to have an A on it. And every one of them had an A except for one. I blew it on that one 8 and a B, which was a copy of a copy of a copy. Back to you, Larry, W4DJW in the Blue Ridge 2-meter net.
JVQ in the 2 meter net. You know, I'm absolutely certain there are people who really should be going to college, and there are people who really shouldn't go to college. Trouble is, they both go. Now, your story is similar to mine. I'm a child of cotton mill workers, and they were proud of that, and I'm proud of them. They worked hard, very hard, and described some of it to me. It's all they thought they could do, and they did it well. Their preparation for work that would be more demanding and different for them and would have made a different life was stymied quite early in their lives. My father didn't go past the third grade, and my mother not past the eighth grade. They grew up in a farm community, and my mother was, after her mother passed on, she raised the rest of the kids. So there you are. And my dad, having a big family when you're working a farm is a true necessity. You know, that's a free work hand. Once they get up to where they can walk behind a mule or a plow or something. And so they had no idea of what the world was like, the world of higher education, and what that would both give you, demand of you, and how it might. Getting through school was, you know, going to be on my own. I understood that from early on. So maybe that was the reason why I was thirsty. I mean, really thirsty to know everything. I'm the little boy who requested when I was 9 years old, I think it was. And my birthday was coming up. I wanted a set of encyclopedias. This shocked my parents. Well, it's a big ticket item back then. This is before a lot of the easily available information that we have today on all kinds of devices. Books were the big thing, and encyclopedias were just that. They were encyclopedic. They covered just about everything, a little snippet, if you will, of all kinds of knowledge. I wanted it. I wanted it bad. And I got it. The rest of the family enjoyed it. I can't remember exactly how I felt. This little guy who just couldn't do without a set of encyclopedias at home. My school was a poor school, and the encyclopedias, well, they were there. Different manufacturer, and almost 30 years old. So you might imagine that it was dated. Still, I read them. Dog-eared and all, I read them. But I had my own set, and I was so proud of that. Later, I would understand as what they called a non-traditional student. There was something like 22 years between graduation from high school and my entering college. And I was non-traditional. Everybody around me was a whole lot younger and had different things on their mind. I was there for an education, and I was going to have it, whatever it took. But I don't know, some folks would do a whole lot better in a technical college like Greenville Tech and choose from something that really excited them. You put in a lot of work, and you want something on the end of that, some advantage for all that work. The paper is not going to be worth a lot. Everybody has paper. But the truth is, your enthusiasm, your thirst for doing a good job well, that'll carry you far. Anyhow, I've enjoyed it. I always do. And we'll carry it over past 10 o'clock now, talking for about a half an hour. Thank you, Dave. Thank you for calling the net. I think the count is around three this week, three times you've called the net. We all appreciate the work that you do. The fill-in is just... it's just the cherry on top, isn't it? You organize everybody else's schedule and keep the nuts and bolts going on the repeater and all the extra stuff with announcements and such as that. We appreciate it. Thank you. I'll turn it back over to you, and maybe we'll get somebody else in here. KK4JBQ. Good night, Dave.